Come on now, soft it to me, sing me a song. Let's keep the music moving, we're going strong.
Morgan here, back from vacation. Getting away really does something for you, doesn't it? You know how I feel? Exhausted. Well, on with the show. Shani Wallace will be our guest shortly. Special Angel by the Vogues. On to Oliver Twist by Charlie Dickens. Now, there's a story that's had a long and checkered history. The novel was made into a movie a couple of times, and then about 5 years ago, it was staged as a musical in London. Later, that played a very successful run on Broadway. Now, there's a motion picture version of the musical. And Charlie ain't making a nickel out of any of this. Shani Wallace is one of the stars of the new film, Oliver. John Cannon interviewed her in England.
What do you think of American people?
American people? Well, it was very strange for me when I first went to America because, you know, we are sort of rather la-di-da, if you like. We're not stuffy. Really, we're not stuffy. Not when you get to know us, but we are quite reserved and we do rather talk like that, you know.
Not usually.
But then, oh, I don't know, I'm a half and half. I'm a bit everything. I'm a bit Cockney and a bit la-di-da, I suppose. Anyway, when I first went to America, I just the sort of casual type of talking, especially in New York, where they talk very quickly, you know, and the cab drivers here used to kill me. They get into it, and they have all their photographs of their family up, and they get into a whole long conversation with you about how marvelous their family is and where they live. And, of course, here, when you get into a cab here, there's all glass. I mean, you can't even talk to
them. Right.
And then the please and the thank yous weren't too often, especially in New York. I did miss that. But then it's their way. And gradually, when you get to know them more, I found some marvelous people there. I did.
Then you went off to Hollywood, and you got to know that whole world, too, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I went to California, and I must tell you, I must be honest, I didn't like it at all. When I first went to California, I was terribly lonely. Of course, I was living in an apartment, and you have to have a car. And, of course, at that time, I hadn't learned to drive out there. I had here. I had no friends around me, and the only way you can visit friends is by car, so I was really very lonely, and I stayed out there for about 9 months, and I said, this is a dead loss. I'm going back to New York. And I went. And then I started to think it over, and I thought about all that lovely sunshine. Maybe if I had a house there and really got to know a few people, and that everything would come right. And it has. Bought a house there in California. Enjoying it.
Let's talk about parties. Certainly somebody of your stature would be somebody you'd want to have at a cocktail party or an evening party. So now, have you ever been to Hollywood parties, for instance?
Well, I suppose that, you know, one thinks about Hollywood parties as being all the glamorous film stars all in one room. I suppose this sort of thing happens occasionally, but not to me too much. I'm sort of quite impressed if I see a couple of film stars around Hollywood. As I told you, this house I just bought, I haven't lived there very long. I've only been there 2 weeks since last September, because I'm usually, like, in clubs or something. You know, I'm either in Vegas or Tahoe or New York or something, and other than that, I'm doing television, so I don't really get much time to go around. But I have a couple of parties of my own. I've got no furniture or anything, but everybody's very happy. They can come and sit on the floor if they like.
And you enjoy America outside of New York and Las Vegas and Los Angeles?
Oh, yes. I've had a chance to go all over the place. And I love to see it from the air, too, like when you go over the Grand Canyon and things like that, you know. I think I really have to visit
that. Did you remark about the difference in people, like the Southerners, that's one group of people, the Midwesterners?
Oh, yes,
and, you know, we have so many different types.
Yes, I was in Texas for a while. I think they're rather mad in Texas. they really are.
Well, everything in Texas is big, and to say goodbye to you, Shaney, we know that in films you're going to be very big, as you have been in nightclubs and on the stage. We've been talking from the Eaton Square Garden apartment of Shaney Wallace, who is to be seen soon in Oliver, one of the biggest musicals, the biggest musical really ever made here in England, and she has the feminine lead. This is John Cannon from London for Monitor.
One of the big songs from Oliver is As Long As He Needs Me.
As long as life is long, so wrong, and somehow I'll be strong as long as he needs me. If you are lonely, then you will know when someone needs you, you'll love them so. I must, I've got to stay true, just as long as he needs me. If you are lonely, then you will know when someone needs you.
At 18 past the hour, you're on the Monitor Beacon.
This is You Know What, and I'm You Know Who.
So I'm down, and so I'm out, but so are many others. so I feel like trying to hide my head 'neath these covers. Life is like the seasons. After winter comes the spring. So I'll keep this smile a while and see what tomorrow brings. I've been told, and I believe, that life is meant for living. And even when my chips are low, there's still some left for giving. I've been many places, maybe not as far as you. So I think I'll stay a while and see if some dreams come true. There isn't much that I have learned through all my foolish years, except that life keeps running in cycles. First there's laughter, then those tears. But I'll keep my head up high, although I'm kind of tired. My gal just up and left last week. Friday, I got fired. You know, it's almost funny, but things can't get worse than now. So I'll keep on trying to sing, but please, just don't ask me.
Love is laughter cut with tears. Love is picnics. Love is death up to your ears. Love is Christmas. Love is dreams that might come true. Love is daisies. Love is what you have to do. Hey, lover, don't you worry. Well, let the heavy duty cold power do it. No matter how dirty, just suck a little cold power. Do it, cold power. No hot water's shrinking for you. Cold power, germ groups too. Love is groovy, love is collars nice and clean. With cold power. Thank you.
That was The Odd Couple by The Brass Ring. In Dubuque, Iowa, your station is KDTH. That's where you'll hear more of Monitor. Morgan, back soon.
The following is a pre-recorded political program paid for by the Nixon-Agnew Campaign Committee.
Recently, Richard Nixon participated in a live, unrehearsed question-and-answer program before a panel of Georgia citizens. The following is an excerpt of that program.
Mr. Nixon, General Curtis LeMay became Governor Wallace's running mate today, and he immediately said that he would use a nuclear bomb if he had to win in Vietnam. How do you feel about the use of nuclear weapons in Vietnam or elsewhere?
I do not believe that nuclear bombs or nuclear weapons should be used in Vietnam. I do not think they're necessary to be used in Vietnam. And I think nuclear weapons should be reserved only for what we hope will never come, and which I think great diplomacy, and it will have to be great diplomacy, can avoid, and that is a confrontation with a nuclear power. Now, whenever you use the ultimate weapon in a small war like this, you inevitably run the risk of its being escalating into a major war with either Communist China, which now has some nuclear capability, or the Soviet Union being involved. And so under the circumstances, in order to bring this war to a conclusion, what we should do is, in terms of our military power, and it means not only military power, but diplomatic and economic and a lot of other things have to be used as well. But in terms of military power, we should limit our efforts to the use of conventional weapons. That's all that is needed, and we should not risk a nuclear war in Vietnam by any matter of the means. I disagree completely with Curtis LeMay on this point. I'd like to say, Mr. Murphy, when I say I disagree with Curtis LeMay, I have great respect for Mr. LeMay as a general, as an Air Force general, when he was the head of SAC. But this kind of reaction shows why I think it's so important that in the White House you have a man who recognizes that you must have civilian control over the military. The military solutions are not always the right solutions for those who are seeking peace and peace without surrender. That's really the point I'm trying to make.
Mr. Nixon, the Senate now has blocked the nomination of Abe Fortas as Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. Who do you plan to nominate if you're elected?
Well, Mr. Murphy, as I'm sure you will recognize, that when I get questions as to who I will appoint to the cabinet, and many people already appointed my cabinet, I really don't have to do it, you know. I just too many have been appointed. That's all I have to select out of you. And as to who I appoint to the Supreme Court, it would be very presumptuous for me to say that until I first win the election, which I hope to do. But I will indicate the kind of man I want. That, I think, is fair, and I think you will agree that, and those ground rules, if you don't mind, I'd just rather leave it at that, and then you can get an indication of who it might be. My view about what a judge in the Supreme Court should be does not relate to whether he's a liberal or a conservative. What I'm concerned about when I look at a judge is also not whether he's a Democrat or a Republican. The question is, what kind of a lawyer is he, first? And second, what is his attitude toward the Constitution? Now, if I find a man, whether he's a Democrat or Republican, or known as a liberal or a conservative, who recognizes that it is the role of the court to interpret the law rather and to leave to the Congress that of writing the law, that's the kind of a man that I want.
If you believe Richard Nixon should be our next president, please help by contributing to his campaign. Send your contribution to Nixon, Box 100, Washington, D.C. We need your help. We need it now. Send your contribution to Nixon, Box 100, Washington, D.C. This time, give like your whole world depended on it.
The proceeding was a pre-recorded political program paid for by the Nixon-Agnew Campaign Committee.
Hi, my name is Stanley Myron Handelman, and my mother thinks I'm very funny. She also thinks I'm going to be on Monitor later today. She's right.
The news is that Star, the Robert Wise film starring Julie Andrews, has opened at the Rivoli Theater, and it looks like 20th Century Fox is a big new hit on Broadway. Here's what the critics are saying. Unforgettable, Julie Andrews at her best, good housekeeping. The big, bright musical of the season, New York Post. An eye and ear-filling extravaganza, Cosmopolitan Magazine. The box office of the Rivoli is being opened 1 hour earlier at 9 a.m. to accommodate the demand for tickets. Star, it's at the Rivoli. Thank you.
was the Baja Marimba Band in a Vera Cruz vein on monitor. Morgan for monitor on October the 27. First question. Que fais-tu là, Petula? What you doing there, Petula? Sing it up a little, Petula. Go, Petula.
Mortimer Peabody, qui a fait cent ans de guerre du côté anglais, est un fantôme féroce qui ne me pardonne pas d'avoir choisi pour mes noces un mari François. Et Mortimer, toutes les nuits, en colère me crie. Petula, Petula, what do you do there? Petula, Petula, when the lonely tale. Petula, Petula, I don't understand. Petula, Petula, come back to England. Mon ancêtre Mortimer, Mortimer Peabody, a perdu une autre guerre contre les Français. Il s'est si bien habitué au ciel de Paris qu'il ne peut plus le quitter, même pour une nuit. Quand je vais à
with Bob Considine, brought to you by Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
Howard Hughes bought another Las Vegas hotel the other day for $17,300,000, plus still another $8 million to pay off the unfinished place's accumulated debts. I'll be back with a comment or two on that fabled multimillionaire after this. What does it mean to a working woman to have health insurance that pays? Here's the answer from Mutual of Omaha.
The single working woman. The woman who works to support her children. The woman who works to add to the family income. Can all depend on Mutual of Omaha paycheck protection when sickness or accident interrupts their income. Some women work because they must. Others work because they want their families to enjoy life's many wonderful extras. Whatever your reason for working, Mutual of Omaha can help you protect your paycheck. When sickness or accident disables you and your income stops, Mutual of Omaha Paycheck Protection can pay you a monthly check, just like wages. And it can keep paying, even for life. So, whether you're single or have a family, see your local Mutual of Omaha man for paycheck protection. Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
Howard Hughes now owns six Las Vegas hotels and their gambling casinos. He has paid out well over $50 million for them, but he never met any of the former owners, and only a handful of their present operators, Hughes's men, have ever even seen him.
Hughes checked into the Desert Inn more than a year ago and has not once left his suite. One of his closest friends over the years, Del Webb, contractor, hotel owner, and former part owner of the New York Yankees, told me not so long ago that Hughes has not even stepped out on his balcony. Webb says he speaks to Hughes on the phone each day, but hasn't seen him for nearly 4 years. The former owners of the Desert Inn, some of them Cleveland racketeers in the bygone days, inadvertently caused Hughes's hair-raising plunge into America's foremost gambling community. They asked Hughes to get out of his suite. It had been booked by some other party. Hughes had an interesting counteroffer. He'd buy the whole blinking hotel, he said, and they sold it to him. That started the chain reaction. The mysterious millionaire now owns a considerable portion of all the hotel rooms in town and controls by far the greatest percentage of the gambling. He gets a piece of every nickel fed into his slot machines and a hunk of every big bet made at his high-rolling dice tables. There was no eyeball-to-eyeball confrontation in any of these hotel deals. At least Hughes's eyeball was not concerned. Everything was done through intermediaries of Hughes. When he controlled Transworld Airlines, Hughes hired a president by phone, gave the man instructions by phone, and then fired him by phone. They never met. When he became interested in Northeast Airlines, he made a millionaire out of its president. One day that president received word by phone that Hughes was going to call him but did not wish to call through the Northeast switchboard. Telephone company technicians presently swarmed into the president's office and installed a private phone. The president sat by it for hours, days, weeks, months. Hughes has never once called, and that was 7 years ago. The legend, and there are hundreds of them, of course, is that he settled in Las Vegas because he had once had a happy month there with a girl in his youth. The probable fact is that he settled there because it is the biggest gold mine he ever worked, infinitely beyond his previous excursions into the motion picture field and into aviation. Del Webb has figured that Hughes wants to build up his personal fortune to $1 billion and then call it quits. I worry about things like that. How will he know when he reaches the billion mark? Nobody would be permitted into his suite to tell him. This is Bob Considine for Monitor, and now this final word from Mutual of Omaha. What does it mean to have health insurance that pays? Here's what Arlene Ayers of Washington, D.C. told us.
I was only 29, but suddenly I found myself bedridden for 3 months and no company paycheck coming in. But Mutual of Omaha kept paying me even when I was home from the hospital. Without it, a lot of my plans would have gone down the drain.
Learn how it can pay you to have health insurance that pays. Call your local Mutual of Omaha man. There's only one Mutual of Omaha. Company that pays.
On the Line with Bob Considine will be heard again later today. Presented by Mutual of Omaha and its life insurance affiliate, United of Omaha. You're on the Monitor Beacon. Here's a tall, thin English fella on Monitor. His name is Engelbert Humperdinck, and he sings three little words.
Seems longer, and as I write to you today, my love grows stronger. I'm gonna let you know what I've been thinking, and hope that you will come to me and you'll be willing. I'm gonna send my hope that you will come to me and you'll be willing.
The following is a paid political announcement.
As America grows ever more crowded and complicated, the air above our cities becomes unsafe to breathe, the water in our rivers unsafe to drink. The leaders of the industries that create this vast envelope of pollution are men more interested in profits than in people. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. And they're more interested in Richard Nixon's election than in Hubert Humphrey's. Why? Because Nixon has never taken the lead in considering the needs of all Americans, and Humphrey has. When Nixon recently discovered water pollution as an issue, he rushed to propose a 6-point program. But 5 of the points had already been written into law by the Democrats. In the area of simple human well-being, the Republicans have always been late, misinformed, stingy, and deep down, disinterested. For a clear sky and clean water, better stick with Humphrey and Muskie.
Paid for by Citizens for Humphrey Muskie. Hugo and Luigi with Maggie Flynn from the new musical starring Shirley Jones and Jack Cassidy. American political scene 68, getting pretty interesting, isn't it? Nobody seems too sure from one day to the next who's ahead. A lot of people who were at first going to vote no for president seem to be picking a candidate. The polls show a little confusion. Dr. George Gallup, originator of the Gallup poll, answers some questions on that, put to him by Rex Marshall.
Dr. Gallup, there seem to be more polls than ever this year, and they often disagree in their findings. How do you account for this?
Well, Rex, the situation is no different from other presidential years. In every election that I can recall, you could find widely different appraisals of candidates' strength. In the case of polls of the general public, the cross-section polls, different methods and procedures are employed by each polling organization, so differences are to be expected. In fact, if they showed exactly the same result, it would be some kind of a statistical miracle.
Now, you mentioned other ways of appraising a presidential race. How do your poll results agree with these other methods?
Well, first, Rex, let me make clear that there are two basic kinds of election polls. those that sample voters and those that sample the experts. In the present election, the New York Times, the Washington Post, Time Magazine, Newsweek, U.S. News and World Report, the networks and the news services all have polled the political experts and professional party workers in every state to get their views on which candidate is ahead in each of the 50 states.
Well, do these experts agree, Dr. Gill?
Well, all of them have Nixon far ahead in electoral votes, far enough to put him well over the 270 votes needed. For example, the New York Times poll gives Nixon a lead of 346 votes, with 93 more in the doubtful column. Time Magazine gives Nixon 320, with 83 in the toss-up category. Newsweek has Nixon with 329, with 66 still undecided. All show about the same substantial lead for Nixon.
Well, now, Dr. Gallup, the question I'd like to put to you is, how do the polls of these experts compare with those of the cross-section of voters, the kind you conduct?
Well, this year we seem to be in general agreement. That isn't always the case. We presently show Nixon ahead by 12 percentage points. We deal, of course, with the popular vote, not the electoral vote. But it is possible to translate one into the other in a rough sort of way. Now, when this is done, when a composite of all the polls of the experts is translated from electoral votes into popular vote percentages, the lead of Nixon over Humphrey turns out to be 11 percentage points. That's close to the 12 points we are showing. But trends now appearing could alter this situation between now and Election Day.
Thank you, Dr. Gallup. We look forward to talking with you again next weekend, the final weekend before Election Day. This is Rex Marshall for Monitor.
And a poll of pollsters shows that immediately after Election Day, they're all going to lie down. Here's Morning Glory, sung by Bobby Gentry and Glenn Campbell, and it was written by Bobby Gentry.
Good morning, Morning Glory. Good morning, what's your story? Good morning, where'd you spend the night? Where did your night dreams take you? Sorry, but I had to wake you. Oh, I just had to make you shed your precious morning light on me.
Good morning, sleepy baby. You know, I'm thinking maybe I love you even more today. Every time you go to sleep, I'm jealous of the dreams that keep you awake from me. Good morning, Morning Glory. I'd like to thank the Sandman, for he let you wake up in my.
Here about the Job Corps. If you left school before graduating, Job Corps can be your chance to start again. You can get your high school diploma, learn skills that help to get a good job. You'll even get paid while you're learning. For information, write Job Corps, Washington, D.C., 20506, or see your state employment office. That was Walter Rehm and the Century 21 Orchestra. Do you know what the top news story of the hour is? You're going to be surprised, and so am I. Listen with me then, next right here. Morgan for Monitor.
The more we hear, the more we learn. To keep well informed is a major concern. So listen for things that are happening on NBC.
There are two ways to earn dividends at the Dime Savings Bank, the big savings bank for all New York. First, for those planning reserves for the future, for an educational fund, vacations, or for ultimate retirement, there's a regular Dime Savings account where the latest dividend is 5% a year, paid from day of deposit, compounded quarterly. Second, for those who might need cash before the end of a quarter, there's no need to lose dividends when you have a day of deposit, a day of withdrawal dividend account at the Dime. Every dollar of your idle cash will earn the latest dividend of 4.75% a year from the day you deposit to the very day you withdraw, provided you have a balance at the end of the quarter. You'll probably need both kind of accounts, one for future needs, one for present needs. For more information about two ways to earn dividends at the Dime and postage-free forms to open your account, write Savings, WNBC Radio, 30 Rockefeller Plaza, New York, New York. That's Savings, WNBC Radio, 30 Rockefeller Plaza, New York, New York. The Greenacres Shopping Center office in Valley Stream is open weekdays till 9 p.m., Saturdays till 6 p.m. The Dime Savings Bank of Brooklyn, a member of the FDIC.
Gerhardt makes it with music. Make it with Gerhardt. Weekdays, noon to 3. WNBC Radio 66 and WNBC FM, New York.